here ready to play for you is Dubravka Benčić. Really fun to watch you play that Dubravka Benčić. I didn't get a chance to check with you. Is Benčić correct?
That's correct.
And
Benčić, yes.
Welcome. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from former Yugoslavia. So I basically grew up in Serbia, was born in Bosnia. All my family's from Croatia, and we immigrated here in 91. So I've been living in Pittsburgh ever since. It's been 23 years now, so I'm actually also from Pittsburgh very much.
So that's a long time. How was your adjustment coming here? Did you have English on coming here?
Or I've had British English, which I learned in school, so it was really a starting all over. It took about 6 months to get into it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I'm glad you made it here. I hope you found Pittsburgh. We're going back a long, practically a lifetime ago, but I hope you found Pittsburgh welcoming as you arrived here.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm still here, so.
Now, how long have you played piano? Did you start when you were really a little girl? Or
I was 9 when I had my first lessons and 10 when I quit music school. So I basically walked away from the traditional sense of music, learning how to play music, classical music, because it made no sense to me. And I seriously thought that I was musically retarded because I could not read notes very well or practice. The technique seemed mind-boggling to me. So I walked away at a very young age, and they tried to make me go back, and I couldn't understand why. Like, I'm not practicing enough. She's always yelling at me, my teacher. So I just kind of left the structure, I suppose.
But then did you stick with piano after leaving, or did you set it aside?
I have at that time composed one song, and it stayed with me throughout the years. So anytime I would find a piano, I would just play that one song, and that was it for a very, very, very long time, probably a period of 10 years or so. And then at one point in my life, I was in college, I decided to find a way to meditate. And it was really a contemplation on the existence of ineffable things, spiritual things, and my pondering into that world. So I found the piano in a church, which, of course, nobody was ever in the church chapel but me and the piano. And I have I just kind of said, well, you know, if there is such a thing as unconditional love in this universe, then it really doesn't matter if I come here and sit on the piano or touch one note and have no clue how I'm playing. I can't read notes. I can't write notes. I'm off the time signature, whatever. I don't have technique, but it shouldn't matter. And so that was my proposition, communication, conversation with this, what I call ineffable thing. And out of my commitment to go there daily, over a period of a month, the melodies started to come in. I began to hear melodies somewhere out in the ether, and I really call it kind of like downloading them through my hands into the instrument. And I've also used an analogy, like, what if I was walking through the woods, you know, kind of back in the day, and there's a piano. I've never seen one. I don't know what it is, what it does. What would I do with it? What would that sound like? How would I experience or discover, uncover this thing in front of me, whatever it is? So I really, really let go of all preconceived notions of what music is, musicianship, practice, whatever, and allowed myself to explore it in a very childlike way.
Dubravka Bencic is the voice of who you're hearing. That's really interesting to think about it. The piano is a complicated manufactured instrument in reality, but if you think about it as one, you know, as one singular object, I think is what you're saying,
yeah,
right? One singular object just as you might, I'm trying to think, if you found two branches and decided to knock them together to make rhythms, you're wanting to approach, and as a percussion instrument, I suppose there's some analogy too, you're wanting to approach the piano in the same way. What can I do with this without thinking too much about technique or notation?
What I'm supposed to do with it.
Ah, yeah. Not what can I, but what is my soul telling me I am supposed to, what I should do.
Right, or rather discovering what the piano can do rather than doing what I've been told I was supposed to do with the piano.
Are there? Have you found other kindred spirits with different instruments that feel this way as well?
You know what? I have here and there. However, I've kept my piano playing in a closet for a very, very long time. And the reason being is sort of that I have a lot of friends who are musicians and jazz musicians and DJs and whatnot. And just being around the music scene, I've noticed a certain sense of comparison, competition, and different things that for the way that I've rediscovered music, it didn't blend. It didn't fit in. So I kind of kept it to myself. I would only play in church chapels because that was like a sanctuary and it always had a piano and it was usually vacant in there. And so I would really do this for maybe a 10-year period as a form of meditation or prayer. And then one day I was at a venue that Shadow Lounge, it's not there anymore, but it used to be my stomping grounds and Justin had a piano there. And I played one night just a little bit. There was not too many people there. And this older gentleman came up to me and he said, "Miss, that is so beautiful. My gosh, you touched my heart." And I'm like, "Well, you're welcome." And I said, like, "I just kind of play to myself, you know. It's just my own thing." And he's like, do not ever underestimate what your music can do for the community." And when he said that, it just kind of stuck. And from that point on, I started to change my perspective and thinking of how can I find a way to begin to share my music with the world? Because it's obviously touching other people's hearts and bringing them a sense of well-being or release or relaxation or whatever it is. It started to go beyond me, and I stopped being selfish, I guess.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? You stop being selfish, but you say by not playing publicly. Yet, what you are sharing is very much of yourself, and I can't quite express what I've tried to say, but I think you've stayed true. You've said, I hate to call it selfishness, you've stayed true to yourself. So you're still able to do that, but you're sharing of yourself at the same time. I mean, I hope. It doesn't seem like from what you're saying you've had to adjust your style.
I made sure that I practice long enough to the point where I am comfortable with my style and my melodies, the compositions, that when suggestions come in, I don't have to take them. I can keep it, I can respectfully decline and just keep playing that which resonates with me and sounds good and that I'm my own best and worst critic. So I need to be ultimately satisfied with what comes out and what it feels like.
And by suggestions, you mean impulses you may have from observations you make as you're playing.
That others make and they say, well, maybe you should, you know, play with more rhythm or more practice.
I see.
Or more like this or like that. Or you sound just like that guy or this girl. Or have you ever heard of? And I'm like, no, I haven't on purpose because I want to keep it very pure.
Yeah.
And untainted.
Yeah, it's very I think there are many fields. I know a lot of broadcasters that abstain from consuming broadcasts, or writers that don't want to necessarily read certain genres because they don't want it to imprint on their own work. Yet if you have a passion for playing piano, for example, it's very hard to abstain from listening to other people playing, I would imagine. But it's pretty crucial, right? Because you don't want to have your own style changed.
Well, I don't listen to I don't listen to classical music at all, pretty much, which my music comes out classical contemporary, apparently.
I hate to label music, and I'm sure you do too, but that's probably where it would end up being put, I think.
Right. And so it's interesting that after all these years, people come up to me and suggest, oh, listen to this guy or this artist or that artist. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that does sound kind of like my music, but I have never heard of them before. So I can't say I've been influenced by them. It just somehow ended up there, so, spontaneously.
As you're playing Dubrovka, are you actually sort of hyper-vigilant or just very observant of everything that's are you picking up the sense of a space or sense of the people around you and sort of reflecting that?
Yes. There's definitely, it's a sense of communion with the audience or one person in the audience, or so there's a feedback that goes between the different energies present. And if somebody's really hyper, or I start playing really hyper, and if someone's really calm and relaxed, then my music sounds differently. So I improvise my melodies each time, depending both on the audience and my own mood. So that's a lot of different types of sounds.
Well, there's a lot of different possibilities. I always, sometimes if I'm emceeing a live show, I'll remind, if I sense that an audience may need to be a little more attentive, that, there's a reason they call it a concert. You are performing in concert with the audience. You are collaborating. And I think for all live music, well, for many forms of live music, the audience does impact the performers. But I think what's different in your case is the degree of that impact is probably as high as it possibly can, because the melodies and the rhythms and the destinations of what you are doing are completely different, as opposed to a band playing a well-known song and perhaps doing it with a little more energy or slightly differently, but it's still the song. And I think in your case, it can be a completely different composition, right?
Yes, sometimes that happens. I start to improvise, and to me, it's the same song, but someone who's heard me before, like, oh, I've never heard that one before. What's that one? Like, is that the same one? Can't you tell? And
do you ever wish? I suspect you don't record yourself, do you?
I actually am in the process of recording an album.
Oh, good.
And it was fun recording it. Now there comes the second part of editing, which is a whole different beast in and of itself. So I think in a few months I will have it ready.
Well, that's good. Let us know when that happens. I was curious if when you play spontaneously, as you are now, if you ever regret, like if you ever do something and you wish you could bring it back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In fact, Ricky and I were talking this morning. She ran in to somebody we both know who said, tell Larry that thing that he told me was a really great idea and I'm doing it. And I know I told him something. I can't remember what I told him at all. And I wish I could. And, that's a natural part of life. I mean, people latch on.
Right.
Just like the man who heard you playing was very moved by your playing. If he came back and told you that 6 months from now rather than that evening, you might have been wondering, what was I playing then? But
I have no idea what I was playing. And that's what, that's what sometimes I record myself too, amateurly, and especially in the beginning of me starting to play again the piano. And I would listen to the recording, and who played that? I don't remember playing that. Is that me playing? Interesting, because it's almost as if I assume another persona, or I become a whole different person. I'm in a different dimension, maybe.
That's interesting to consider. Dubravka Bencik is here with us at the Saturday Light Brigade live. She's been in Pittsburgh for a little over 20 years, having come from Bosnia. And would you like to play again?
Yeah,
I'd love to hear another song from you as you compose spontaneously.
All righty.
Boy, it's interesting. May I ask if you're if you have a profession in addition to playing? I normally don't ask that question, but I'm just curious.
I went to school for graphic design, so I have been a visual artist actually for the past 15 years.
I sensed that,
and I see music, and I see it much as a soundtrack and things happening and me expressing what I see visually.
It's very rare, in fact, very rare that I would ask that. And thank you for sharing that. But I was thinking of a number of things, such as what people might draw while listening to you play, if they were to do that. And it would be interesting to compare what people are feeling as they draw. And I think there's also definitely some therapeutic value as you play, I would imagine. Wait, do you find yourself playing every day when you're home, or just is a day without playing missing something for you?
Absolutely not, actually.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay. So you can put it aside without trouble?
Yes. I also practice a lot of meditation and Reiki. That's like something that I've been into for about a decade now. And so for me, the most important part of this type of spontaneous improvisation is to be able to be in a space where that's the mind. I'm out of my own way. And so the muse can come in and the inspiration, the energy can flow freely through me. And the best way to achieve it is through practice of meditation. And then I take my meditative practice to the piano and just becomes another venue for that.
So this is quite unusual then, in that you're here performing or playing this morning, and it's a good thing that, well, I'm just... It's a good thing that you're feeling it, or you've been able to control your muse enough that you know.
Allow the muse, not control.
Ah, thank you. You're right. Thank you. But you are. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I would have been heartbroken if you came down and said, "I'm just not feeling it. Sorry," but. Typically, if you aren't feeling it, you aren't going to play, right?
Yeah, typically. Yeah. But I've prepared before I came here, and I did my little meditation, I admit. So yeah.
No, and I don't mean to ask so many personal questions.
Oh, no, these are great questions to ask, because I share this with other musicians, and I try and explain this. Yeah. Because sometimes they ask me, how do you do that? And I don't read music. I don't write music. It's all memorized. So they're just kind of baffled. And so my explanation is that it really begins with that opening of the or breaking down of the walls of the ego to allow this greater frequency to come through, like becoming more of a radio receptor to other things. And I don't know how else to describe it.
That's a very good analogy. Now, do you play out at all performances that others can come and hear?
I have currently a studio space with a couple of pianos where I've been inviting some friends, so intimate gatherings. And I prefer intimate gatherings with candlelight, because then everybody can be relaxed and that way suggest the tone of the performance, where it is like a meditative, relaxing experience. But I have found Pittsburgh not to have too many venues with real pianos, and I prefer to play acoustic piano. Mm.
And we, I wish we had one here for you this morning.
Oh, it's okay.
It's not played. We used to have one. It's not played. Forgive me for repeating this, as you listened. Folks have heard me say this before. We couldn't keep it in tune because it wasn't played frequently enough, which was trouble. You're listening to Dubrovka, Bencik. I keep wanting to say Sensik. It's Bencik. It's so nice to have you here today. Do you have a web? The website is just your name, right?
That's right. My first name and last name. So it's www.dubrovkabencik.com, and that's spelled D as in David, U, B as in boy, R, A, V as in Victor, K, A, B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, C as in cat, I, C as in cat.
And we've linked to it, and I'll put we've linked to it from slbradio.org, and I'll put it up on our Facebook page in a minute if you're there, so that you can pick it up that way. We can do one or two more songs. I want to leave that up to you to give you and you don't even have to decide right now unless you already have a feeling for that.
I can play some more songs. I don't know which one, but let's play. Okay, I'll play this one.
Dubravka, and I've liked them all, but I really liked that one. They've all been good, but there was something about the lilt at the end of that. I mean, I don't want to compare them that much, but that one just seems so peaceful. I wonder if it might be your feeling more comfortable as you've been here.
I'm definitely feeling more comfortable, and the first two songs are kind of expand across the whole keyboard, the whole 88 keys. And I usually start with those because it helps me to warm up and relax. And then I start playing the more melodic ones. And this particular one is the first song I ever wrote. I mentioned earlier when I was a kid. And this is the one that kind of survived over the years and was the bedrock upon which all the other ones came. And it's called My Slavic Soul. That's what I call it because I wrote it back home. And now I play it often. But it's definitely structurally different from the other ones. Mm-hmm. And it's more classically arranged.
So the songs you've played so far have had some general structure that you're then embellishing and changing and contracting or expanding. Are any of the pieces you play completely, do any of them just actually, they probably really can't. Everything has to start somewhere. I was going to say, do any of them begin without the structure of something that preceded it? If that question makes sense.
I suppose you're asking me how they come to me.
Well,
maybe or
actually, it's not a very good question. What I was trying to think of is some of these songs you've sort of worked out the structure and have a sense, but anything that would come to you immediately, you would have worked it out anyway because it's already inside of you, I think.
Yeah, it already exists in the universe.
I mean, given what you've explained to me about your philosophy, I'm realizing my question is
so
kind of circular.
It's a matter of when that moment happens, is I'm usually feeling something or thinking of something, and then I hear it. And it's like, oh, I hear it. And then I go to the piano. I'm like, where are the keys? Which ones are the white ones or the black ones? I don't know because I hear the melody translated on the piano. And from that point, I build it and stretch it out and develop it into something that has a little bit of rhythm, has a little bit of structure and repetition. So it could be called a song.
Do you ever get frustrated let's say struggle with trying to use your hands and the keys to match what you hear in your head?
Absolutely. I say the piano is the only instrument I know how to play, which is limiting to what I actually hear. And that's why I am looking very much forward to completion of the solo piano CD and starting to collaborate with other musicians so that we could expand the sound and add different instruments and beats and flavors and arrangements to the music. I would love to get one of my pieces orchestrated, for example.
Yeah. And that's, wow, that's interesting as you open up a process that's very intimate to involve others and that will be a challenge. But I can imagine now, even for piano, that you hear things and it's just how can I get that exact sound that I'm hearing? I think many musicians probably
the piano,
feel the same way.
Yes, it happens. And the beauty of the piano, especially the acoustic piano, right now I have a wonderful privilege to play on a concert Steinway. Oh, and it has such a wonderful range of sounds, the depth and the height, the high notes, and it allows me to explore some of those sounds and create them. And then it's both the technique and the way that I use reverb or not, and I'm creating these sounds on top of sounds on top of sounds. I'm layering sounds. So and then I hear a violin and a cello and a drum and bells, and I only have two hands and two legs, so that doesn't happen. You know, I can't play all these instruments all at once. So I'm very much looking forward to working with other artists and technicians, producers, in order to begin the process of expanding the basic melodies into greater pieces of art.
Have you thought about using technology as a tool to allow it to be entirely you, whether it be recording, layering tracks atop each other, or using loops to accompany yourself? I can see there's pros and cons to that.
Yes, and I've been working with my recording guy, Michael Hickman, and he and I have made an attempt to add some strings and a tuba to one of the songs, and it just started to sound so phenomenal, and my mind just went off into the whole orchestral piece. However, that little 2.5-minute song took about 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a second, maybe there's some other people out there that this is what they do, and it might be easier to collaborate with people who are more comfortable with that, just as well as I'm comfortable with composition and playing the piano. That's effortless and easy to me, and I know that there are other producers and artists out there who can do what I do just as well. And so I'm open to that.
Dubravka Bencic is here. It's been really fun to have you. I'm hoping you can play one more. But this will be our last chance to talk. Is there anything else you wanted to mention that I may not have asked you about? Or
I think you've asked me a lot of questions. Most importantly, I share that I'm definitely open to collaboration and help in different ways of distributing and sharing my music with others to conclude everything. And I'm very grateful to be here. I'm happy I made it today. Huh. So I'll play
me
another.
Me too.
Yeah.
What neighborhood in Pittsburgh do you live in?
My studio is in the Strip District, but I live in Swickley.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for being here, and here again for you to listen to and enjoy is Dubravka Bencic. Dubravka Bencic, thank you.